and in the blood he spilt. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on his blessed name. Eternally his promise stands. My name is graven on his hands. Let all around my soul give way. He still abides my lasting stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Number 3. My hope on nothing less is built than Jesus and the blood he spilled. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on his blessed name. Blessed God, our Father, we thank Thee for, and just read verse 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. Verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. We're just thinking very simply, beloved friends, concerning the subject in Matthew chapter 7 in those two verses that we read together about travelers in this world. Everyone in this audience is a traveler through this world of time. And I know we look at traveling in many different ways. Some of us are on vacation, taking a little trip and traveling. But the solemnity of these two verses bring before us the awful, sorrowful condition of traveling through this world of time into which you were born, that you had no choice, into an eternity ahead. And there are two roads, two ways that you can travel through this world, through this period called time. It may be a short time, it may be a long time, I don't know. But most likely it's going to be very brief, because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The night is far spent, as we heard today. The day is at hand. And we are almost, in a certain sense, past the time span that we would expect Jesus to come. But He longs over this world in His mercy and His grace. But you are traveling to eternity, to live somewhere in heaven or in hell. Oh, the solemn burden on the heart of a parent here to think of losing a child to the clutches of eternal darkness, never to be delivered, never to escape. It's wonderful to see exit signs on these doors, but there is no exit in eternal darkness, beloved friend, where you may be going. We can many times get out of our problems in this world by one way or another. There are different ways. We can scheme, and others may help us, but provide deliverance to get us out of our problems. But that is an eternal problem. It's unsolvable. And the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, I think sometimes we don't, and I speak this for myself, think of the reality of eternity without Christ, because it's so awesome to the human mind, to the natural mind. The only way we can understand it is to have the mind of Christ that we have today and believe what He has said in His Word. But to think of suffering the horrors of God's judgment forever is awful, beloved. And the world scoffs at it. They use the word hell, which is used, destruction here, in a scoffing, mocking, cursing way, as though it didn't exist. It exists. And Jesus spoke more of hell than He did of heaven, beloved. We've heard that many times. He said, repent or perish, ye shall all likewise perish. If you're on that broad road, there, it says here that there are many that are on it with you. The majorities are traveling down the broad road that is leading to destruction. The gate is wide because of the various religions of the world that men and women believe in today. It's a wide gate for souls to go through. They may be very sincere about the choice of their religions and their ideas about eternity. But there is only one gate. There's only one door. There is only one way. And how blessed most of us have had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home. And some of you have had not have that same privilege that many of us have had here, that are here tonight. But it is a wonderful thing to be raised with the truth of the way of salvation. As our brother Doug mentioned, Pilate said, what is truth? And that's what people are saying today all over. What is truth? Pilate said that. And instead of accepting the one who stood before him, who was the way, the truth, and the life, he chose his own reasoning because he wanted to be popular with Caesar. He had made some bad choices before, and he was afraid that he might lose his position. And he said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And he delivered him, therefore, to be crucified. But he lost his position anyway. And he lost his soul, no doubt, anyway, beloved. Are you going to lose your soul? Whatever the cause might be, no matter how sincere you might be, are you going to lose your soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about what men and women should seek here in this earth. And Solomon was given a heart of wisdom, natural wisdom, to seek out what men and women should do in this world, what they should pursue to make them happy, whether madness and folly and wisdom. And he had olive orchards, and he had possessions, he had property, he had all kinds of things to make him happy, he thought. But it didn't, beloved. Because he says, the eye is not filled with seeing, nor the ear with hearing, and hell and destruction are never full. And he goes on to say at the end of the book, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, and so forth. When thou shalt say, I had no pleasure therein, let thy heart cheer thee. In other words, from a human standpoint, pursue those things that will make you happy. But remember, the days of darkness, he goes on to say, they are many. They are many. They are without end. They will never end, beloved. Forever and ever. To be lost, I can't imagine it. Can you? Child, can you, dear child here, can you think of being lost forever? You go to a store and you get lost from your mommy or your daddy. It is an awful experience, isn't it? I've seen children, and you have too, crying in the store because they can't find their parents. And they finally get someone to broadcast over the speaker system, please come and get so-and-so. She's up here at the front desk waiting for you. But there will never be any rescue. Never. In eternal torments. Never. And I know some will say, well, we shouldn't impress hell and destruction too much upon the hearts of our children. Beloved, if it takes that kind of frightening to bring us to our senses, and you, dear child, tonight, to the point of repentance and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be worth being frightened, will it not? I remember the night that my son was crying, and I didn't know this, he was upstairs, he was weeping, and my daughter said, came down the stairs, and she said, Dad, can you please come and see if you can help Aaron? He's crying. I don't know what the problem is. And when I got up the stairway and walked into his bedroom, he said, Dad, I'm going to hell. Are you, beloved? Are you going to hell? Are you on the broad road that leads to destruction? That was after a gospel meeting. And sometimes maybe we say, well, it's really not that important that we go to the gospel meetings with our families. We were accustomed to going to most of the gospel meetings, thankfully. And I know that most of you here, and I too, have been saved at gospel meetings in our simple little gospel halls where the gospel is preached. But that night he got down on his knees. I can tell the story because he's not here. He got down on his knees and received the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what happened, dear child. He stopped crying. And you will too if you have any fear and you've ever cried because you thought you were going to hell. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll stop crying forever concerning your soul's eternal destiny. And you're going to that land where there will be no tears, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things will be passed away. Isn't that wonderful? But forever in an eternal darkness, the horror of it, there will be weeping. And I don't know if you've ever heard wailing, beloved. We've heard people cry, but in hell there is going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I was at a funeral. I'll never forget it. A son of a mother took his life. And she wailed at the graveside. I've never heard anything like it. I'll never forget it. And I thought, is this what it's going to be like in eternal torments, in eternal judgment and darkness? People wailing. Wailing because there is no help. There is no one to deliver them. There is no Savior available. You know, going down the broad road, you got lots of latitude, lots of leeway. You can do a lot of things in your life. People are doing anything they want out there in the world today. It's become a loose living kind of life that people live. The lifestyle is so much different than 10, 20, 30 years ago, is it not? You children that go to school, my heart goes out to you. Because of the temptations and the awful things that your ears and your eyes are exposed to. Awful things that go on in the world today, in our society, that years ago were covered up and were considered a shame. And today it's all out in the open. It's all out there. And the world calls these things the pleasures of sin. Or the pleasures, I should say, without the sin. Pleasures. Things to make them happy. The world has its possessions, whether it's pleasures, its riches, its material things, and all of those things which last but for a moment and then they're going to vanish away. What is your life? What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I remember some years ago, we were at Lassen Pines, and my daughter had a friend she was very fond of. The problem was there wasn't much change in his life, a very little, if any, reflection that he belonged to Christ, though he made a profession. He went to the gospel meeting that night. And the subject of that meeting was, what is your life? I'd like to ask you, beloved friend, I don't know if you've come in from the outside, or if you've grown up in a Christian home, or you're friends of someone in the meeting that you've come with tonight, but I'd like to ask you that question. What is your life? Are you happy? The Bible says, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Happy is the man. And when that happens to you, you're going to be happy. And I'll have to tell you, my daughter's friend, her boyfriend, was not happy. He heard the message. And it went over in his heart and his mind that his life was a waste. He was living for himself and for the world and trying to find pleasure and satisfaction and fulfillment in something in this world that he was seeking after. But he was empty. As it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity and vexation of spirit was his experience. And as the meeting went on, he began to weep. My wife and I would not let our daughter date this young man, because he was at such a distance in his life from what we knew was the truth. After the meeting, he came out weeping, and he said that he had gotten right with the Lord. And he's still going on with the Lord. Beloved, what God has to offer you is not some temporary fix or some temporary adjustment in your life that will last just a short time. It is eternal. Eternally, His promise stands we're engraven on His hands. I remember a young lady that was up the street from us who was on the broad road enjoying life for what it was. And she received Christ. And her infidel father said, well, this is just temporary for her. You know, that she needs something to get her through high school and college and all of this. And then all of that will just kind of pass away and she'll go on to something different. Oh, beloved. What we have never changes, because the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And as much as you are a son or a daughter of your parents, when you come into the family of God, and you will never, ever, that will never change. You come into the family of God by faith in Christ, that will never change. You'll belong to Him forever, no matter what happens. And look how Peter failed in his life. And it doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that things are always going to be happy. Because we go many times our own way like Peter did. And he wept bitterly when he followed the Lord afar off and then he denied Him. But you can never, beloved, ever be put back upon the broad road once you've received Christ and you're on the narrow road to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Nothing can ever change that road map. There are no routes back to the broad road that leads to destruction, because God's salvation is eternal. It's perfect. His heart has been satisfied. He has been glorified by the work of His own beloved Son. He said it is finished on the cross. And when you receive Him, friends, you are eternally His child. And may it be tonight that you come to Him and say, Lord, I surrender. I believe. I've made a profession. I've told people that I'm really a Christian and I'm really not. And I know how it is to play the Christian game. Do you? Dear young people, children, are you playing the Christian game? When people would ask me, are you saved? Oh yes, I'm saved. Just to pass it off. But are you saved? Are you really a child of God? Can you imagine what it would be to be in outer darkness and never ever be able? And you'll believe. You will believe in that day of eternity. You will. You'll believe, but it will be too late. Never an opportunity to get out. And you will bow the knee to the One who became a man, the man Christ Jesus, to die for your sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you don't bow, beloved, now, you will bow to Him in that awful coming eternity. And I saw Him who sat upon that great white throne from whence the heaven and earth fled away. And there was no place found for them. There'll be no place, beloved, found for you. There's a place for you now. There is a place for you to come into the family of God. There is room for you tonight, right now, if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those sins of yours need to be forgiven. And you know, it's really a sin question that has to be settled with you. God has settled it. Planted in the broad road that leads to destruction is a sign that says the Calvary intersection. With a flashing red light, if I can tell you this, beloved. A flashing red light that would remind you of the awful, awesome danger of going beyond the Calvary intersection and continuing down the broad road that leads to destruction. The disciples went to loose the colt where two ways met, and the colt was tied outside. Are you outside the door of God's grace and His salvation this evening? Are you bound by the cords of your sins? He wants to loose you. He wants to set you free. Our brother spoke about Pilate saying, what is truth? The Word of God says, this blessed book says, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That little colt is just a picture of you, dear child. You sing the donkey song in Sunday school, right? There once was a wild little donkey. He had to be tied to a tree, and Jesus was thinking about him. He said, go and bring him to me. You're that little colt tied outside, but you must have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ about your sins. You must receive Him as your Savior, and you'll be set free. Judgment free. Isn't that wonderful? Judgment free. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. No judgment. That little colt was loosed and brought to Jesus, and he wants to bring you to himself tonight. He loves you. Oh, how much he loves you. And when Paul was on the broad road, Saul of Tarsus, I should say, on the broad road to Damascus, religious though he was, on the broad road to Damascus, he got set free. You know, that bright light that shone out of heaven smote him to the ground. And that bright light of God's salvation, that beacon is shining right down here upon your heart tonight, upon your life. Though you may be bound by the cords of your sins, He wants to set you free. He loves you. He gave Himself for you personally. And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? You know who Jesus is. He did not know Him. Oh, he knew of Him. But he was a persecutor of the church, a persecutor of the believers. But you're going along playing the Christian game, perhaps, or just denying it all. Still bound by the cords of your sins, no matter how old you might be. But Jesus wants to set you free. He can set you free. It's the truth. The truth is, there's an awful hell. There's an awful destruction ahead for this poor world. And for anyone raised in a Christian home, if you're unbelieving, you'll go there too, beloved. That's part of the truth. The other aspect of the truth is there is a place in glory that many are going to. And that is the church for which Christ died. Do you belong to His body, the church? Are you part of that blessed company that belongs to Him? If not, why not? What is the problem? Why are you waiting? Why are you lingering and hesitating? So the truth is, heaven and hell. But you've come now to the Calvary intersection of that broad road that you're on. No matter what might be gripping your heart or possessing your heart, it could be the pleasures of this life. It could be friends at school. It could be maybe you want a position, some kind of position in this world. And I think one of the worst things, beloved, is making a profession. Having a form of godliness. He goes on here to talk in Matthew 7 about those who don't really have Christian fruit. The Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. I remember when my son got saved. A tremendous change in his life. Tremendous. He really became sensitive about some of the things he was going on with. Not serious, but things that he knew were wrong. Called Calvary. Remember, beloved, if you go to sleep tonight without Christ, I want you to remember that flashing red light. And it will continue to flash because God loves you. And I want you to remember that it speaks of not only Calvary and all that went on there, but the precious blood that was shed for you on the cross. When they came to the place called Calvary, That is the place to say the place of a skull, as we were saying today. Man in all of his wisdom, in all of his understanding, in all of his philosophies and ideas, in all of his religious views, took the creator of the universe to that place. That was what the skull speaks of. And it only showed that man was dead in trespasses and sins. The hour is coming, it says in John chapter 5, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God to you personally? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, the often awful things that happened to Jesus. By men of wisdom, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the rulers, the princes of this world, the Herods, the Pilates, Caiaphas, the religious men, the chief priests. When Jesus came down to this world, beloved, it was for you. Christ died for all, the Bible says. Now the righteousness of God is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness which is of God by faith unto all and upon all them that believe. You don't have to worry about your own righteousness anymore. It'll never be good enough anyway, because the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But when you have His righteousness, you're clothed eternally in Christ's righteousness, or the righteousness of God, as we heard today, in Christ. It says that they platted a crown of thorns. Man in his wisdom, this is what they did. They platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And put a reed or some kind of a weed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee to him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they spit in his face. Beloved, child, have you ever been spit upon? It's an awful thing. I was spit on once, and it's a very degrading, debasing kind of thing. What did Jesus do when they spit upon him, when they mocked him, when they smote him on the head? As a lamb before her shears was dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I'll tell you, beloved, the road that he walked to Calvary, we will never, ever understand. It was to take you off of the broad road that leads to destruction, to put you on the narrow road that leads to glory. He came down from heaven to Bethlehem's manger to go to Calvary's cross. And in between it says, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. That's how much he loved you. John chapter 6, I saw this sign coming into Walla Walla, I think it was in Idaho. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom the Father hath sent, the one who inhabiteth eternity, the one who is God manifest in the flesh, the eternal Son of God, come down to take upon Him a body. A body hast thou prepared me. And this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Now, wonderful. One sacrifice. And what was the custom of the Jews in the Old Testament? They offered oftentimes the same sacrifice, or many sacrifices that could never take away sin. Beloved, by one sacrifice, He can take away all of your sins, because God accepted it as full payment for you and for me, because He bore our sins, or my sins, in His own body on the tree. I trust you will never forget. The believer here will never forget the intersection of Calvary. You remember the time when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you came face to face with that awesome sight of the lover of your soul who hung there between heaven and earth for you, beloved. We will never forget it. And He will remind us of it in a coming day of glory. Revelation chapter 5 speaks of the Lamb in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. We will never forget the sufferings of that Blessed One. And our hearts so feebly enter into His sufferings now. Is that not true? He suffered the just one for us, the unjust, that we might be brought to God. But we fail in fathoming those awful sufferings. It will take all eternity, and even then we will not enter into the love that caused Him to go to those awful depths, those fathomless depths of sorrow and judgment, who was laid in the lowest pit in darkness in the deeps, who cried out at the end of that 3 hours of atoning sufferings, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? I cry in the daytime, and Thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Our fathers trusted in Thee, and they were delivered. But, oh, beloved, you know, it was love that caused Him to hang there and go through those awful, sorrowful hours for you, that you might be and I might be delivered for all eternity. Delivered forever from the horror of a lost eternity. Can we emphasize too much the awfulness of that eternity to cause you, beloved, to turn to the Savior tonight? Was there ever a place that was such a display of the awfulness of the heart of man? Sometimes we say, oh, that's an awful sin. People do certain things, and we say, that was an awful, sinful thing. You know, the greatest display of the awfulness of sin was the cross. And looking at that Blessed One, and I want you to look by faith at Him tonight, hanging there on the cross for you, beloved, nails through His hands and feet, a crown of thorns on His blessed head, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the awfulness of man's heart. Sometimes we say, well, you know, somebody I think mentioned today, people who have problems, emotional problems or moral problems, we send them to the institution. Or maybe the world will say, well, join a certain religion or go to therapy. That's the answer. And some people may get a little help that way. They'll never get their soul saved. They might get a little help. But to show the awful condition that man is in, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, it drew forth the enmity of the heart, as was mentioned today, the enmity of the heart of man against God. The reproaches of them that reproach Thee, Jesus said prophetically in the Old Testament, Psalm 69, fell upon Me. And it showed when Jesus came that there was absolutely, utterly no hope for man in his fallen and ruined condition. When he hates the very love of God, come into the world personally, how could it be? But my heart is the same. He came and exposed the Pharisees, exposed the religious rulers. They were whited sepulchers, and inside was wickedness. And He told them. They hated Him. He healed on the Sabbath day. That was against their religion, their religious practices and customs and traditions. The exposure of it to their religion was awful. And they couldn't bear it anymore, no matter if it was a Lazarus being raised from the dead, or a blind man whose eyes were opened, or the deaf who couldn't hear, he hears,
or the lame who couldn't walk. He walks. Didn't make any difference. In fact, in John chapter 12, where it speaks of Lazarus being raised from the dead, sitting at the Lord at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ, and Mary pouring that expensive ointment upon Jesus, and Martha serving. Down further in the chapter, it says that they were plotting his death. You say, oh, those awful, awful religious people. That's my heart. That is my heart. And until we come to the point and say, I am guilty, just as much as they were, of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, though it was 2,000 years ago, you haven't really come to the point where God wants you to come to say, there is no hope for me. At Calvary, beloved, is where you can change direction. That intersection is available for you to take an alternate course, an alternate avenue, because that one who hung on the cross is now risen from the dead, and he waits for you to come. While he hung on the cross, there were two thieves, and you know the story. The one thief said to the other, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, we're getting the due reward of our deed, but this man has done nothing amiss. After appraising the blessedness and the righteousness and the perfections of that glorious one, he changed his mind. Both of them were attacking the Lord Jesus, obviously. It says they both cast the same in their teeth, in his teeth. But the one had a change of heart. And at Calvary, beloved, at Calvary, he got light. That light came upon him. He realized that he was wrong. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Have you said that, beloved? That's what Saul of Tarsus said. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It is not a long process to become a Christian. It is a moment. In a moment, Saul of Tarsus becomes a different person, a new creature in Christ. When he received the Christ of God, he believed the one that was revealed to him from the glory. Flesh and blood, as we heard today, has not revealed it, but my Father which is in heaven. And here was a man who was on a destruction course, headed for destruction. A religious man going down the broad road. God reaches down and touches his life. And he would reach down and touch your life and your heart and tell you, I love you. I love you. I want you to belong to me. Is there any greater love that we would see in this world than what we see at the cross? We said, of course, sin was shown in its full bloom character at Calvary. But my beloved friend, was there ever a love that was ever seen in this world or experienced in this world like that love? Behold and see all ye that pass by, if there is any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger, it was because he loved you. He loves you. And he lingers over this world, beloved. We say, why does it take so long for the Lord to come and take us home? Because he loves this world. And he's waiting for you, perhaps, and others. I don't know. We may not have another night. And it is more probable that he would come tonight than 10 years from tonight. Isn't that true? And why wilt thou linger? Why wilt thou spurn? The greatest judgment that we could ever see is at Calvary, beloved. We've heard of some awful things going on in Iraq, and in our history books we read of awful things that have happened. Catastrophic things. But the awful, most awful judgment that has ever, ever fallen upon anyone in this world fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that not measure the heart of God's love for you, beloved? I know we say as Christians, He's loved us with an everlasting love, but oh, His love is so great to give up the darling of His bosom. And it was like that ram that was caught in the thicket by his horns, we read in Genesis 22. When Abraham lifted up his knife and he was going to slay his son, and the angel said, "Do thy son no harm. There's a ram, look behind thee." And there was a ram caught in the thicket. The Lord Jesus Christ could have called 10,000 angels in a moment's notice to set him free, but He desired to set you free, beloved. Thus, He set aside His power and exercised His love to go through that awful, awesome suffering and anguish of the cross that caused Him to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground when He anticipated it in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then there was an angel that appeared strengthening Him. The Son of Man on His face praying, disciples sleeping, Jesus anticipating the awful anguish and sorrow of the cross for you and me. He was wounded for my transgressions or our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Can you put your name in there? Can you say He died for me? He did. You receive Him. He died for you, beloved. Otherwise, it will be the horror of an awful eternity without Christ. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, if you die in your sins, if you believe not in me, you will die in your sins. I'm sorry. And where I go, you cannot come. I can't imagine what it would be to die in your sins. Just in Aberdeen, Idaho, some of you from Aberdeen here, my son drove me past a home. He said, "Dad, that house right there, a father and mother and a stepmother driving in their Suburban, blew out a tire, thrown out of the vehicle, into eternity. Three children left behind." Awful. You expect to go on and you say, "Well, I have more time." And that's probably one of the worst cases of going down the broad road, is you say, "I have more time." There are possessions. There are positions in this life. There is a profession that you may make, still on the broad road. But if you procrastinate, that means you put off. It's the thief of time. I can do it later. I know of a young man who attended the Walla Walla meetings, and he said, "I will change someday. I'll accept Christ someday." And that was 15 plus years ago. And he's still going on without Christ. Hasn't changed yet. Hasn't turned to Christ yet. Will you, beloved, this night simply come to Jesus right where you are? A young man was at a gospel meeting similar to this. A paper was passed around, and some of those that were sitting there were new and had heard the gospel perhaps for the first time. And there were two boxes to check at the bottom of this sheet. One said, "I have received Christ as my Savior." The other one you could check said, "I have decided not to accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord." and he checked the second one. Just within hours, driving his car, Eddie was hurled into eternity by an awful crash, overturning, killed into eternity. Beloved, come to him tonight. Jesus said, come unto me. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Could we sing number 21? Hymn number 21, Decide for Christ Today, and God's Salvation See. Yield soul and body, heart and will, to Him who died for thee. Decide for Christ today.